Thank you, David. Let us pray before we begin. Father, we thank you for being with us all through this book of Daniel. And for those of us who have traversed week by week with this consistent theme of hope, your way of doing things in this world is a mystery to many, but we can trust you, Lord, that you are in control. Tonight, Father, we depend on that control as we look further into this word, as we close this chapter of Daniel. We pray, Father, that we will leave here with the certain hope of the future. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, we've been looking at Daniel over the last couple of weeks, and it doesn't get any easier as we come to the end. As a matter of fact, we probably come across some very strange terminologies and some stuff that will have Bible scholars digging into their reservoir of manuscripts to substantiate, to find out what's happening. But tonight we're going to have a look at this, and I would like to say up front that this whole chapter here really is consistent with everything else we've heard so far. As we come to the end, some of what we've heard may still seem confusing and mysterious even. The metaphors and imageries are meant to startle us. It's meant to wake us up, really. And at the same time, the message right throughout the book is that good overcomes evil. God is in control, and he ultimately wins. So through Daniel's visions and dreams, we have encountered strange beasts of various forms, representing kings. So we've come across Nebuchadnezzar, we've come across Belshazzar, we've come across Persian and Greek kingdoms, or Grecian kingdoms. We've come across different types of powers. Most subtly, they represent the heart of sinful man. So as we see these different forms of king and kingdoms, that's what we're really looking at, the heart of man, how sinful it is, or how sin has, well, waxed in terms of time. It's increasing. We have seen nature in conflict. We have seen the wind, the waters, the land in upheaval, a state of flux in nature, as nature groans under sin, and it only finds rest in the end. Through Daniel's devotion, we also meet God. We meet him in a very special way. From chapter one, we have met him. We meet him as deliverer. We meet him as comforter. We meet him as conqueror. And that goes right through. And at the first half of Daniel, before we got to chapter seven, we saw personal encounters between the men of God. We remember people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We remember them walking through the fiery furnace. We remember Daniel, him praying, and the boys as they entered Babylon for the first time, how they God blessed them on this special diet of fruit and water and vegetables, and they came out more excellent. We remember them, different kings drawing on Daniel's special relationship with God. So we see that God is a deliverer, he's a comforter, he's a conqueror. There is so much to confuse us in the book of Daniel. However, if we are preoccupied with the finest detail, and believe me, there's much to get preoccupied with all those imageries that we've come across and all these visions that are in there and stuff to read into. It is debatable, some of this stuff, believe me, not that it's confusing, but many people sometimes can't agree on some of what some of these visions mean. But there is an overall view that we can all take. Again, God is in control. He ultimately wins. There will be an end. Good conquers evil. The ending of this chapter is the comfort given to Daniel that we should all take to heart. As we go to the last verse there, Go your way till the end, it says, and you shall rest and stand in your allotted place at the end of days. Oh, what wonderful words that those are. You shall rest and stand in your allotted place. There is a place allotted for Daniel at the end of days. And so it is for us as well. There is an allotted place for us as believers if we take the stand of trusting and believing in this God who is in control. You shall find rest, he says. Go your way. What Daniel is told here is profound because it is in response to what someone asks. And as we see that imagery there in Daniel 12, where we see this man clothed in linen stands there and he's joined by two other men on the bank, one on one side of the bank of the river, one on the other side. And I reckon this angelic being, I assume, is like Daniel, a witness to the theater of the end. All this thing, these things that we have read about all the way through from chapter 10 onwards is what this is played out right in front of these witnesses. And the question is asked, as they converse, and Daniel is almost like eavesdropping on this conversation, as almost that they've forgotten that he was there, or if they are, they are aware of his presence. But the question is, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? They ask, and that makes me think to myself: even the angels in heaven have no clue to what the end is. You know, only the Father and the Son knows, and the Holy Spirit knows what's going to happen at the end. That's a secret. And we see that in the Gospels, don't we? When is the end, the disciples ask, and no one knows. And Jesus replies, it will come like a thief in the night in some scriptures. It will just come upon us. The answer is astounding here, however, and it's one which would interest Daniel. He would want to know what's the end. Also, he didn't ask the question, but he would certainly want to know. And his people, those here to this wonderful salvation, they would want to hear it as well, because they are people in distress. They are the people captive in Babylon. They are the people who are oppressed. They are the holy people of God. The man clothed in linen, who was above the water of the stream with both hands raised towards heaven, he swears by God that it be for time and time and a half a time. And that seems like no answer, really. You know, what does that really mean? This answer may not seem to comfort, as there is no intention to give a precise time. What we get is that it will be a while, and then a while more, and then a short while. And that's the answer we get. This is not the first time we have met this man clothed in linen. We met him in chapter 10, verse 5. His imposing stature was so frightening that Daniel lost strength to stand. And the men that were with him ran away in fear. And so what we have here is not a new vision, but a continuation which seeks to expand on the events we've read earlier. The end of Daniel 10 tells us why the man in linen has come. He has come to tell what is inscribed in the book of truth, the book which contains the course of future events. And he, the man in linen, that is, must battle with the evil powers, he says, that contend for Persia and soon those that contend for Greece. It seems as if God has angels over these nations, these kingdoms, which contends with the devil's princes of the earth. The imagery here is that the battle of the nations of this world is a spiritual one, which manifests itself in evil rulers which seek to destroy God's people. And we only have to go to Ephesians, where we get that wonderful scripture that reminds us that the fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle indeed. But the encounter doesn't stop there. We are told at the end of chapter 10, that the end comes when the power of the people of God, the holy people, it says, are shattered, then it will be finished. And that is daunting, because that word there, it is shattered, the holy people are shattered, they are broken, then it will be finished. And isn't that amazing? Our God is an on-time God. And there are times in our own journey, our own walk, our own testimony and witness that we get to the point where we want to give up. We are broken. And then God steps in. And that is the hope that we have, that he always steps in. He's done that right from the beginning. He steps in just in time. There is a plan. God is always making a plan. And he has a plan, an everlasting one. That for his people. We might not know it. He tells us we should trust him. And that's what we should do. God will step in to demonstrate his power when all human effort is exhausted. When the enemy thinks he has won, God will deliver his people. That is everlasting hope. That is a hope. Partially is he will deliver his people. That is confused, however, by these parables as he listens on and confesses. He heard but did not understand, the scripture says here. Nevertheless, his question to the man clothed in linen is different. His question goes like this. He says, "Oh my Lord," as we read it here, what shall be the outcome of these things? You see, Daniel's greater concern was the outcome of this great conflict. He's not confused by the mysteries of the end. And that's what I want to just draw us away from. Being drawn into all the mysteries of beasts and numbers and all that kind of stuff. Notice here, Daniel is not really preoccupied with that. He's preoccupied with something else. What's the outcome of this great conflict? What will be the outcome? What is to happen to the people of God, the holy people? What's become of the wicked? When we look at verse 1, the phrase starts at that time. And this is a reference to the times of the events of chapter 11. And what we get in chapter 11 is this fight, this continuous to and froing of a battle between kingdoms and within kingdoms. Persia has fallen to Greece. And a battle that swings to and fro between the kings of the north and the kings of the south, with increasing devastation and evil inflicted on God's people. It culminates with the death of Antiochus Epiphanes. And we've heard that name before. And that's where we get to in terms of the end of the rule of that king. It is at that time that the prince in charge of God's people arises. And there is a great conflict, such a great conflict, never seen before, till when God's protector of his people, Michael, comes, the scripture says. And Jesus refers to this prophecy in Matthew 24:21 when he describes the events of the end time. And if we have our Bibles, we could probably flick there and I'll just read what it says there. It parallels what is said here in Daniel. And Jesus says this: "So when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight might not take place in winter or in Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again." And I put it to you that this is what Daniel has seen here, is what he's understanding here. And Jesus is making that clear, that that time will come. We begin to wonder, when will all this be? Some scholars will think that it has already happened, but it can't be. Nowhere, I don't think it can. Because it says, "For there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now. This seems like the end, never to be equaled again, Jesus says. This time of great trouble in chapter 12 is the result of the abomination that causes desolation. And what we might have here in chapter 12 is like a type of what is going to happen in the end as it plays out in these present kingdoms. And that is God's way of doing things, isn't it? There is always a type or a mirror of what's going to happen in the future that we look into that gives us an idea of how God plays things out. And so I suggest that that is what's happening here, that Daniel is seeing that. That this is going to be happening at the end, at the real end, that is, as we see the end of time for people like Antiochus, I can't pronounce his name properly. 12 verse 11 tells us that there is a period of time, 1290 days, between when the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination makes desolate is set up. So the abomination that makes desolate is set up. There's some 1290 days between that time. At that time, God's people will be delivered. Everyone whose name is found written in the book of life, the dead will rise to life, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame and contempt. Again, as we battle with the scripture, we tend to want to look into it and think, oh, is it talking about that present time? To some extent, that, as I said, that the future, as it unfolds here, is a type of what is to come. A distant future of the end is what is presented here, really. The culmination of beastly powers, and finally a depraved and evil Antiochus in chapter 11 are just reflections, mirror images of future beasts and despots that will face off with a future king, and that king is God's son, Jesus, the Messiah. And those who are true believers and those who turn to Christ, those who are, as it's referred here in the scriptures, those who are righteous will be glorified. They will shine like stars, the scripture says. But Daniel is told before this time, the world will go on. Things will just go on. Times will change. Knowledge will increase. So what is he to do? He's told to shut up the words and seal the book until the end. The impression here is that many will seek to understand the meanings of these prophecies running to and fro. For people will be scurrying about desperately to find knowledge in their own power, but will fail in their attempt. As for Daniel, he need not concern himself with details. He is to seal the words until the end. Now, Daniel need not worry about his spiritual hearers. Verse 10 tells us that many shall purify themselves, made white by the refining of the fire of tribulations, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. They will not seek God, nor his righteousness. So none of the wicked will understand, but those who are righteous will understand. So here we see a great promise here, a promise to those who are righteous, that those who are true believers, they will understand. This chapter reminds us as believers that only God is in control, but we have the promise of an allotted place at the end, as Daniel was promised. There is a blessing for those who endure the persecution and the trials of this world. We need not worry over the details of when. Our concern really is to turn to others, to turn others, to righteousness, so that they will shine bright forever. So that the whole of this chapter here, what we have come to realize is that indeed God wins overall. Good will overcome evil. Justice will yield peace. There is everlasting hope. It says, but go your way, it says, till the end, and you shall rest and stand in your allotted place at the end of days. And it says, blessed is he who waits and arrives at 335 days. Again, we can get so bogged down with this. We can get bogged down with these numbers and what they mean. I mean, what does it mean? I do not know. And I've read so much about what these could mean. We could go on probably for days on end trying to debate what they mean. But you see, it says, Daniel says, verse 8, I heard, but I did not understand. And he wanted to know the outcome. So what's our outcome tonight? What's the outcome that we have here? What is it that we go away with? We go away with a God who is supreme. We go away with a God who is sovereign. We go away with a God who is a conqueror. We go away with a God who is a deliverer. We go away with a God who knows justice. We go away with a God who will overcome evil, and he will pay those who are wicked with their just reward. We need not worry about the beasts of this world. We need not worry about the end. The end will come, but what we need to do is go our way till the end, and we will find rest in Jesus. We will find rest in him. We will stand in our allotted place at the end of days, and that is our everlasting hope. Justice will prevail. He is the Prince of Peace. We give him glory. We give him honor. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are indeed the Ancient of Days, that you have all things in control, that we need not worry. We need not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. And yes, Father, the signs of time will come, and we will see the signs of the time, things waxing graver, evil, wickedness, yet they prevail. And like Daniel, we too cry out, how long, Lord? How long, Lord? When shall we get justice? But it's all in your time, your perfect time. So, Father, we pray that you'll give us strength to go on, to carry on, to do what we have to do, ready to serve you, ready to witness, ready to point others to you and shine like stars as we await our allotted place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.